listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, it's been a moment and you looking like a tenderoni. I wrote this song for you when you could sing along if you want to. There's something about you, can't put my finger on it. I don't know why we put ourselves through unnecessary stress and pain and then get inebriated just so we could try to soothe and alleviate it. But when we got a good thing, we can't appreciate it. Just like this chick I had on my team was everything on my wish list. Spending holidays, Valentine's and Christmas. Now I'm in the club looking at other broads like I gave up home cooked meals for this shit. I gave up them back rubs for this bitch. The whole damn thing is bass aquas. This is the last chapter. Break up the makeup like Max Factor done came to my senses. Now I'm right back at you. Let's go. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
Can't believe I did that whole verse right. That was long. We are back and we are ready to do some podcasting before we go see my niece hit that violin for us.
Yay, I'm officially old. I'm glad I'm the old auntie that gets all excited for no reason over a violin recital, because I remember when I used the concert band, man, it felt good when you looked out there and seen family. Even if you were terrible at it, you didn't give a damn as a kid. You just want them to be there.
Well, you know, the good news is that I feel like as uncles and aunts and stuff, people like, you know, like us out there, we get to be kind of cool like that and mm-hmm. be excited about this stuff. Now, I'm sure it's not as exciting for everybody that's watched Layla practice 1,000 hours and, you know, had to buy the violin and had to go to all the practices and pick up from school and all that stuff. We just get to show up at the finished product like, blah, you did your thing, Layla, you
and
know.
To her own.
And I mean, everybody got a role to play, you mm-hmm. know, so we just playing ours. But I am looking forward to going to see her and seeing how she does in recital, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you guys listen to the Blackout Tips. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Blackout Tips, find us, let us know how you feel about the show by leaving us a 5-star review, and make sure it's nice. If it's nice, we'll read it on the air. If it's not, we won't. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball, extreme. And today's show is sponsored. It's actually brought to you by Bevel. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. That's right. Say peace out to them razor bumps. All you got to do is go to getbevel.com/tbgwt and you get your first month absolutely free. They'll, you know, hook you up, man. You'll be looking good. Christmas is almost here. Mm-hmm. So getbevel.com/tbgwt. And also this episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/tbgwt, enter code TBGWT, and you get $3 off of any new subscription. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time to sign up for this month's crate, or you miss it and then you won't get your new crate till next month. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get this month's crate, make sure you sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time. lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT to get all of that. All right, all kinds of stuff to talk about. So let's kind of just get into it.
Okay.
So I guess with the Donald Trump shit, he's been appointing different people to stuff, you know. He appointed ExxonMobil's chief to the Secretary of State.
Ain't there no people, the oil spill people?
Yeah, drain the swamp.
Okay.
Maybe the swamp was full of oil and he got to drain it. Then he appointed Rick Perry to be the Energy Secretary, which was one of the departments that Rick Perry said he wanted to get rid of when he ran for president, I think in 2012. And he couldn't think of the other department he wanted to get rid of, but he was like, we need to get rid of 4 departments. Well, one of the ones he could think of was energy. He wanted to.
So we ain't gonna have no power after a while. Rolling blackouts across the country. Why? Cause fuck it.
I don't know. Your guess is good as mine. You know, these are the kind of people that really like do shit like take away the restrictions and the environmental concerns.
The environment about to get fucked up. Like, people take for granted that most of the country has clean air. Now there's some part of the country, particularly out in California, that has more smog than the rest of the country, but you know, over the years they've been improving that. Like, it's people who live out of California and move out to, like, well, we are on this coast, that say their allergies and their asthma and all that shit go away because technically the air is cleaner out here. And it's just one of those things where, yeah, people take for shit for granted, you know, you, especially if you like seafood, fish, you know, you like that type of shit, you know, they fucking up your water, which means this shit, you're not gonna be able to eat the food after a while, you know, they fucking up the crops, they already putting pesticides on the on shit, which makes it, which making it 8 times bigger than it was 2 months ago, and shit like that. So yeah, and the thing too is, like, the people he's putting over these different divisions of the government ran against the shit. So you putting people over the shit that hate how the shit runs, they don't like it at all, so they just go in and just fucking dismantle it.
Yeah, he's like Ben Carson's like in part over HUD and shit, you know, because he's, they probably just heard urban housing, urban development, they said, oh yeah, all the black people live in the urban areas according to Trump. So yeah, and then today Kanye West met with Donald Trump, President Trump, at the Trump Tower, which every time I hear the Trump Tower, I always think of just the tower in Lord of the Rings, like just the eye of Sauron just glaring out that motherfucker. They discussed life during that 15-minute sit down, and Trump says that he and Kanye have been friends for a long time and that Kanye is a good man. Trump was considering making Kanye an ambassador of sorts, but they didn't go into detail. Probably ambassador to black people, maybe, which all kind of fits the thing I've always said about Kanye. He's as racially woke as what applies to Kanye, and that's about it, you know. Like, any chance he gets a second, you know, anything that doesn't have center around his blackness specifically, y'all can go fuck yourselves. Yep. You know, like, it's like he had that one moment talking about George Bush, and then after that it was just all downhill. So but you know, I think people still root for him on a personal level and shit as an artist, and there's people that somehow he continues to get under their skin, has been doing so for I don't even know how many years now.
It don't bother me no more.
Yeah, I almost feel weird not having a heightened emotional response to his antics, because to me it's just all like, what, like, it's a constant look at me. So I don't understand how people can get so, still be so bothered by that dude. And that's not a tacit approval of what he does, it's just, nope, like, what he does is very, to me, inconsequential.
Right, it don't impact my life.
Yeah, it just seems like once you understand that he's out for self first, then what's the point? Like, but people were still mad at him, you know. Oh, he got an impressionable fan base and all this shit. I'm like, who the fuck is left that's impressionable that's in his fan base? Like, at this point, you'd have to overlook a lot of stuff to be like, and I think Kanye's a good guide on what to do with my life. I mean, that's, yeah. So I don't know. He want to meet with Donald Trump? Okay, that sounds about par for the course. You know, Kanye eventually said he wants to run for president. Who knows? In a post-fact world, he can just do whatever he wants, maybe. Yes, I don't know. Kanye said he did eventually want to speak to Trump about the violence in Chicago. He said they didn't talk about him performing at the inauguration or participating in the new administration. But he said he hopes to talk to him about the violence in Chicago after Trump is in office. So maybe Kanye is going to run as a Republican. Maybe he supports stop and frisk coming to Chicago and all that shit. I don't know.
You never know.
So there you guys go. Good luck. This is so hard for me to get amped up over that dude at this point. It's just like, okay.
I was like, is it music? Do it have a hot beat? Oh, okay. Never mind. And I just turned away.
Yeah. And then Charlamagne met with, I think he had a couple of black women on his show today for the Breakfast Club. After all that shit he said, you know, with Tommy Lauren and all the shit he said on Twitter, then my understanding is he made off the Jackass of the Day or something. So he basically invited Jamila Lemieux and Amber Phillips on to his show. Amber Phillips has a podcast. She appears on TV One. Of course, Jamila Lemieux used to be like an editor at Ebony and stuff, and so she, you know, pretty prominent black women who have created their own platforms, who are very well informed, who I'm sure went on there and, you know, did a good job. I haven't heard it yet. I've just been seeing people react to it and stuff like that. I do want to listen to it, I guess. But part of me feels like the same way I felt about Trevor Noah going on there, where it's like, I don't know what good can really come of it, because I really do feel like this is the cycle. You know, it's just I piss off troll black women, I get attention from it, double down on it, bring some, you know, black women on, they quote unquote set me straight, then I'm not a problem for a month or so, then I'm back saying the same shit. You know, it's all like a cycle almost. And what's funny is, to me, and I think I said this already on the show, but to me, the way that Tommy Lauren has she capitalizes on the idea that people feel like I can save her, mm-hmm. from her own racism. Like, right. I'm the black man that can talk to her. I'm the one who can get her in the public and have a conversation that will change her views eventually. That's how people treat Charlamagne, I think. But I say the same thing I say about Tommy. It's profitable to do. It's profitable to just keep doing this. There's really no incentive to change and to be a better person and all that shit. I mean, you give Andrew Schultz a platform. You give, you know what I mean? Like, you give Tommy, you want to take a photo out with Tommy Lauren. To me, this is just like good business. He got over a week's worth of attention and clicks off of one, you know, brief walk from one building to another to get a thirsty ass photo op with Tommy Lauren to put on Twitter and get everybody upset about. And he ended up getting they got the Daily Show type of publicity having Trevor Noah on. He got to like kind of align himself with Trevor Noah on some like, see, we the same, when, you know, I don't think they're the same. He got to, you know, capitalize off of having Tommy Lauren's picture with him, and he was on her show earlier this year. And now you get black women coming on the show, quote unquote setting you straight, breaking it down. So it's like you just, I don't know, it's like you just continue to win, if you think about it. So and that's one of the gatekeepers in the industry of, you know, quote unquote blackness on TV. Like, that's a dude that has the ability to get people on
and shaker.
Yeah, gatekeeper. He can get people on. He decides who gets on the platform and, you know, what he does with his platform. So I think that that am I frozen? Is one person saying I'm frozen? Is everybody saying I'm frozen?
You're frozen on my screen too. That's why.
Oh, okay.
If you were still moving on my screen, it wouldn't have mattered.
Okay. All right. But yeah. So I just think that end of the day, it kind of got rewarded, man. And that it's sad because I feel like a lot of black men rely on this. Like, there's black men that are just vehemently anti-black women that I know black women that still follow them, support their endeavors. Mm-hmm. You know, if I ever bring up something they did, like, yo, this was fucked up, I know black women that'll be like, well, is it really fucked up? Because, you know, he, the page is unresponsive? Okay. All right. I don't know what's going on with Crowdcast right now. I'm trying to refresh, though.
Okay, I'll let them know.
But it's still working for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Still chatting.
But yeah, I just think they can rely on it. Like, you can set your watch by the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, I will kind of be forgiven and people will still come to my aid and support and come to save me and talk me down from this ledge of anti-blackness and misogyny noir and all that shit. And I can just pretend to be ignorant to the whole thing that's happening around me.
Mm-hmm. It's always been profitable to shit on black women.
Yeah, you know,
it's the profit margin. Like literally, that's how people make their money. That's how people make their living. It's the profit margin to shit on brown people altogether, but particularly black women.
Yeah, I just like, I don't even see it different than like how a lot of churches will talk down about black women, but black women are the only people in the pews. You know what I mean? The
only folks showed up.
So it's like, how did you get on if it wasn't for a black woman, in Wendy Williams supporting you? You know, how do you, you know, you have black women on your platform that you know of. It's just, it's, at this point, it's gotta be willful trolling, but yeah, I feel like people still keep treating it like infractions, momentary infractions that he'll learn from and get better. But I don't know, it's working for him, so more power to him, I guess. It's kind of, you know, kind of whack that, but that's the other thing with black radio in general. What black men are on the radio that aren't like that? You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty conservative and pretty much black male centric with the points of views that are expressed. Most women on those shows are there as either window dressing or people to be disagreed with whenever they speak up on, you know, on women's issues and stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's see what else is happening. Oh, the Golden Globes got announced, and apparently 50 Cent didn't get any nominations for Power. So he was pretty upset. I'm on the move again. Golden Gloves can suck a dick, he declared. I accept my series Power was not intended to be a signature show for the network, but is the highest rated show. I know my audience very well. I'm done promoting this outside of contractual obligations. Season 4 can and must die. I got other shit to do. Hashtag effing vodka. Well, at least he got his vodka promo in there. So I like that he accompanied it with a picture of himself typing into his phone, which means he had someone else take a picture of him on a private plane typing into a phone so he could send out the picture with the Instagram caption. That's smooth. I gotta start doing that. I gotta get Karen to take a picture of me tweeting, and then I'll put the picture up of me tweeting while I'm tweeting.
But what about the people who do the set pieces, the other actors?
I guess fuck everybody. Nobody got nominated for anything, so fuck them.
All right, so you basically killing their jobs?
He's upset, Karen. No?
Man, I'd be upset if I was underneath that work for him, going, well, fuck, I need to start looking for another job, because obviously you don't want me to be here.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
They not canceling it. Like, the station not can. I mean, the what damn he on? What's this? Showtime? Cinemax? What station? I don't even know what station it comes on. But whatever station is on, if they not canceling it, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Enough people watch it.
Yeah.
But he just wants the accolades.
The accolades, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that's so unfair to want the accolades.
No.
If you think your show is worth it.
I don't either, but it's just one of those things. I guess my problem was he was like, well, just fuck it. You like, nah, dog, it's other people that work that eventually feel like the show will get recognized, but you basically go on, well, fuck this and fuck the rest of the season. You go, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's my perspective. Like, yeah, I understand you wanting to get acknowledged for your hard work and the work that you put in and stuff like that. And who knows, he might be speaking from frustration of talking to the rest of the performers and things like that, like, you know, just talking to them and them being disappointed and things like that. And this might be kind of his way of lashing out to show his disapprovement. But yeah, if they're not, don't want to cancel it, I just keep going.
Yeah. So it's just interesting that
I understand him being mad.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know that that's gonna gain you any favors, but you know, the question, I had to stop watching Power. I didn't think it was that good. I got through the first season and was just like, I'm not coming back. So but maybe people do think it's good. I don't know. I see people still tweeting and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else is happening in the world today. There was an overdue library book that was returned after 120 years. I wonder what the interest was on that shit.
To return it, Rip Van Winkle, what's happening here?
The granddaughter of a man who attended Hereford Cathedral School in Hereford, England, returned a book to the school's library earlier this month, which was only about a century overdue. The book was
still readable?
Readable. I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't be. Books can be very old, Karen. she was sorting through her late husband's book collection, which has about 6,000 titles, when she came across The Microscope and Its Revelations by William B. Carpenter.
Oh shit, The Microscope and Its Revelations.
Yeah. She noticed the inside of the book said it was borrowed from Hereford Cathedral school, which her grandfather attended between 1886 and 1894.
Well, goddamn.
According to the school's website, so she decided to return the tome to the headmaster. Gillis' granddaughter, Professor Arthur Boycott, went on to become a grandfather went on to become a distinguished pathologist and naturalist. HCS said of his alumnus, his fascination with science began early as he graduated with first class honors in natural science from HCS and held on to a book about microscopes for his entire life. Boycott's photo hangs in the National Portrait Gallery. They didn't impose any fines for the late return.
Of course, because they're white.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
If they had been black, they would have imposed fines for a 100-something-year-old book?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, what can I say to that logic? And she told The Guardian that the school says they usually don't penalize students for late books. We don't want to put them off of borrowing books. A school spokesperson told The Guardian, our pupils are really, really good at bringing them back. And then he said, except for the black ones, we charge the fuck out of them niggers.
Mm-hmm. You other brown people, bring our books back.
All right. Oh, man. There was a Santa who was working in Virginia at a Petco.
Mm-hmm.
And he apparently lost his job because he turned out to be the first person confined under the state's Sexually Violent Predators Act.
What, he molesting animals?
Why are you saying animal?
He's got a pet coat. Ain't that where people take their pets? Or did I miss the point of the story?
The fuck would a pet care about a Santa? Obviously, the kids.
A pet owner would care if you molested right. animals?
Mm-hmm. They're probably worried about the children, too. That's probably the number one thing when you think of Santa. People take their children to be pictured with Santa, and they take their pets too. So
okay, now because you said Petco, my
well, pets don't shop at Petco, Karen.
No, but they pets. Just, I bought the Petco with the family, and I wouldn't want my Chihuahua sitting on your lap if I knew you was jarred for molesting animals.
Okay, that's a valid point.
So that's why my mind went, my bad. And the children matter too, but you know, white folks care about animals more than they care about people.
Why'd you assume it was all the white people that cared? A store manager confirmed to the paper that Leonard Russell Kidd played Santa at the store, where he posed for photos with pets, children, and parents. They said he worked there, but it would not say if management were aware of his sexually violent predator designation. He was convicted in 2002 after he reportedly performed oral sex on a 6-year-old son of a woman he was living with.
Oh!
He was also implicated in 2 other cases of abusing young boys. He has an unrelated conviction dating back to 2000 for kicking an officer in the shin and headbutting a police car. 2009, the state petitioned for Kidd to become the first person involuntarily committed under the Sexually Violent Predators Act. Dr. Doris Nevin said during the 2009 hearing that Kidd was ranked in a group of sex offenders who demonstrated a 100% probability of violent recidivism within 7 years.
Ooh.
Judge ruled in 2012 that Kidd had not progressed enough to be released from the facility.
How did he become a pet Santa?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't do a background check or something.
I guess they just wanted to be sure you didn't violate the animals. People, you good. Give me this Petco.
Guess he could have been working in Toys R Us. Could have been worse.
That's true.
Babies R Us. My opinion is that we would want to pose a high, he would pose a high risk to society, said Dr. Elliot Grant, who explained the kid was in the second phase of a 3-part treatment plan at the center. He was released from confinement in 2015.
This didn't flag?
What do you mean?
Like, I guess they don't do that extensive. But they were like, oh, you just take a picture of animals. Don't nobody decide to do a background. Nobody check the box in the computer to get the report back.
It flagged at some point. I mean, he lost his job. Somebody found out.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he lost his job as Santa.
Yeah, you should lose your job as being anybody Santa.
Yeah, I hear you. Yep. those poor animals,
right?
I don't really know how to talk about this, but the White House has kind of declared that, you know, they want to formally, like, Russia had something to do with all the hacking in the election and stuff.
Mm-hmm. They were dropping hints about that for a while. Mm-hmm.
It's so weird because the first thing I noticed was that people were like, well, if Obama knew this, why didn't he say something earlier?
He couldn't
have. One, he basically said it.
He did.
So number one, you got that. Okay. Like, he said it as much as you can say it. Two, he presented it to a bipartisan, he tried to get bipartisan support on it,
right,
so that he could come forward with these findings. The Republicans would not support it.
They shot that shit down.
They, you know, the people that care so much about the security of our country would not support it. obviously, if he would have come out without bipartisan support, it would have been judged as either rigging or tainting the electorate, mm-hmm, by coming out and basically saying Russia, it wants Donald Trump to be president, mm-hmm, and you can't get any Republicans to agree. They're going to go to the press. They're going to say the president is tampering with the election. Keep in mind, even with all that being said, I honestly 1000% believe it would have had zero effect on the election.
Me too.
I think people have quote unquote either buyer's remorse or, yes, they have some type of shock and they're looking for people to blame. This way you can blame Obama. I don't think people were moved by this at all. I, mm-hmm, mean, during the debate, Hillary Clinton brought it up several times that, mm-hmm, Donald Trump is basically being supported by Russia. Why do they want him to be our president? Why would people vote to let this happen? And it didn't matter. I don't think the people that wanted him to be president care about that shit.
Yep.
I think the votes would have still been the same. I don't think the people that were apathetic about voting for Hillary Clinton care about that Russia shit either, because we, yep, knew. We knew. It wasn't some new shit. Like, it was presented like it was new. Now, maybe there's some back channel political machinations that can happen that can keep him out of office or something. I'm not putting my hopes in any of that. I'm not putting my faith in any of that.
He'll fuck around and impeach himself.
Hmm?
He'll fuck around and get impeached or do something fucked up or something like that.
I'm just saying, with this quote-unquote plan, mm-hmm, I'd be shocked if something came of it.
Ain't nothing gonna change. Y'all might as well hang that up.
And I honestly don't think people cared.
No, they don't. They still don't. Because the thing about a lot of people's outrage, do you really care? Do you really, really care? Are you just outraged for the sake of being outraged?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you cared, the results would have been different. So you didn't. So what are we talking about now?
Right. So I don't know. I think it helps people to put something on somebody else. You know what I mean?
People don't.
You know, and I think specifically white people were really in a rush to be like, oh, we can blame Obama. Yes. Like, wasn't us. It wasn't the fact that we went in the booth and white women betrayed their interests. Many different white people of different paths betrayed their interests. Many people voted for open bigot. Anything but the truth. It's like, nah, it had to be this Russia shit. We were just fooled again. No. It wouldn't have changed anything, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Not enough to make this loss happen.
Nope.
So, at any rate, we'll see what comes of it. Because you can't even really say that's why he won. You know, can you really say the hack is why he won? You know, people still were, and if anything, Hillary Clinton still looks the smartest out of everybody, because ain't nobody seen her emails from the private server unless she handed them over. So it sounds like everybody should have been on Gmail.
Come on.
If I was Gmail, I'd be doing commercials like that. Like, mm-hmm.
You want your shit to stay safe? Yeah, versus we got a president now making personal collect phone calls on an unsecured phone to people all over the world.
Yep. Let's see what else is happening. How about this? There's some trouble in the relationship waters for Sherri Shepherd. Apparently her ex-husband wants more than $4,100 in monthly payments.
I remember this, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he said it's time to up his dog. So according to reports, Sally, who is her husband, Lamar Sally, ex-husband, he believes his baby mama and ex-wife is holding out on him. He says she is making way more than the original amount that was documented in the initial agreement. And when the two made their deal, Sally says he was under the impression that Shepherd reeled in a little over $1 million a year. However, he says he now believes it's closer to $3 million. And as a result, the $4,100 a month Shepherd had been paying just isn't enough anymore. Mm-hmm. With the medical expenses for the couple's 2-year-old son, who has a medical condition that requires treatment, Sally needs more money to support that child. In addition, he wants his ex to cough up $75,000 to cover the legal bill for their divorce. Mm. So he wants more than $4,100. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you the breadwinner,
I'm not mad.
Another person take care of the kid.
Come on.
That's what happens. But yeah, if she can afford it, I'm assuming they're gonna up that payment.
Right.
The United Kingdom government wants to issue Britain's unique porn viewing ID numbers.
No.
They say they want to stop people under 18 from looking at porn, so they want to make all porn sites operating in Britain collect some kind of age verification in order to make this happen on pain of being blocked by the UK's Great Firewall. This amounts to a giant database of the nation's porn consumption habits, ripe for leaking and abuse.
Right, so no. No, all somebody gotta do is crack about it. When I know you watch porn and then they get chained. Nope. 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 When you collect large masses a database like this, all somebody gotta do is crack it and leak it. Nope, nope, I've always been against this.
Not to mention the most likely way to verify age would be with payment methods, right? Hey, credit cards, gotta be 18 to have those, you know, stuff like that. So then you could kind of sort it through name, age, how much your income is, stuff like that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I've always been against it like that. Nope, I'm not here for it. Not here for it.
Yeah, after the hack of like Ashley Madison and shit, I don't know why people would even consider this, but they're really trying to get rid of porn over in the UK.
Right. You're not going to stop people fucking and watching. I don't know why people think they can pass these laws. All people going to do is just go fucking underground or go to the black web and watch the shit anyway. You're not going to be able to control it.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, you can check out how much people watch, probably.
How long they watch, where yeah. they're watching, mm-hmm. monitor, because the thing.
What their kinks are and shit.
Right, because the thing in, UK, unlike, well, it's almost like here in the United States, but over there, they have cameras everywhere. Like, literally, you walk outside your house and you're constantly monitored. It's not like here in the United States. So they monitor you a lot here, but over there, they monitor you a lot. And it's just one of those things where, to me, this is just another form of control and monitoring and knowing where your people are and all that shit. And my thing is, why do you need this much detailed information about people? Why? What do you benefit from it other than you just fucking holding a database for somebody to crack one day and it's going to be like, well, somebody cracked the leak. Now everybody know your porn habits.
Politicians, celebrities.
Right. All you gonna do is shame people. That's this whole list is just a shameful list for somebody to get on and put it out there, and all these people watch porn. Who cares?
I hear you. So also, Apple has a new update for your phone. And it's gonna have some new emojis.
Okay.
I updated mine last night. Gotta get them new emojis, y'all.
Okay, I probably need to update mine.
Everybody worried about their phone turning to a brick. I just backed it up, said, let me get these emojis. New emojis is worth it, y'all. The phone emoji keyboard will come with symbols that represent occupations like teacher, scientist, and firefighter, for example, as well as updated people-themed emojis, including one depicting a pregnant woman. The newly released batch will also bring new types of smiley faces that show different emotions and actions, such as a face with a Pinocchio-like nose. So you can be like, this nigga lying. One of these emojis appears to be a clown. I don't know if I support this anymore. The update will officially launch Monday after previously being available in beta, which it comes as various tech companies and organizations have made an effort to develop emoji that are more inclusive and represents a broader range of people, activities, and interests. A group of Google employees proposed a new set of gender diverse emojis in May, while Facebook rolled out a new option for its Messenger platform in June. Apple's latest update will bring the company's recently announced TV app improvements to the iPhone's photo app and the new full screen effects in iMessage. Yeah, I sent Karen a song this morning through text.
I seen it. That was cute.
So you just need to update it, guys. Like, got bacon emoji, an avocado emoji. They got an emoji that's sneezing and it has a Kleenex on his nose.
Aww.
It's an eagle. There's a sharp. There's bread. There's wrestling emojis.
So we still have to use eggplant for penis.
Of course, Karen. I mean, let's not get rid of the classics and not rush to improve. All right.
I'm just asking. I mean, we improve. We need to improve on everything.
I hear you, buddy. I'm just saying. So I don't think we're ever gonna get that penis emoji, guys.
You don't think we're gonna get the penis emoji?
If you're waiting on that one, you might want to keep waiting. Next segment. Talk about this horrible news. Highlights for Children magazine has been targeted by anti-LGBT hate group.
What?
Yep. If you've ever been to the doctor's office, you guys have seen these magazines. Highlights for Kids, Highlights for Children. You know, there's all kinds of...
Yeah, they've been around forever.
1946.
Woo, I'm about to say, yeah, everybody done had their hand on a... highlight book where you read an article as a kid or trying to get somebody out of a dead end puzzle. You know how you go around and try to get the little boy from one side to the dog or some shit like that. Yep.
Well, apparently, unicorn booty is all over this.
That name kills me.
Because Highlights, which strives to be diverse in every way. The editor-in-chief Christine Cully said, from time to time we show families headed up by a grandparent or single parents. We show adoptive families, blended families, multi-generational families, and multiracial families. In the future, we will depict same-sex families in our magazine in a manner consistent with the way all diverse families are depicted. This is a support of our mission to help children become their best selves and understand that all families, including theirs, are important.
Wonderful, because there's so many people that are non-traditional. The definition of family has changed. People need to embrace the definition of family has changed.
You know what? It hasn't changed. It's always been like this.
True.
It's just being recognized.
Right.
Like, that's my problem with a lot of this shit, because the argument people hide behind is that somehow this will, quote unquote, encourage kids to be gay or be LGBT of some type. Here's number one, why would that be bad?
Come on.
You know, number two, who encouraged you into your sexuality? You know what I mean? Like, because I just kind of feel like puberty happened and then I was like, I'm a fan of titties now.
Yeah.
It wasn't really like someone had to talk me into, you know, you could go either way, but you probably want to hop on these titties. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll just stick with these for life. So already that sounds like some bullshit. And then number three, you are also now taking the shame out of different kids and their sexuality and their experiences growing up, man. Like, we can't have a world where we still shame people and still shame companies for showing families and people's sexual orientation that aren't just straight, you know, heterosexual people. We can't shame companies for doing that without just as a byproduct shaming these kids and shame. Right. Like, we are teaching these kids to be ashamed, even when you say stuff like, I don't have a problem with it and do what you want to do. But then these kids, like, no, you don't care about it. It's not the kids. It's not the kids.
People always using the kids to hide behind bigotry.
Right. And so the fact that this is a magazine for kids, I mean, I'm sure that the American Family Association, which is a certified hate group, and other people that think like this, of course,
could give a fuck about this magazine until they said something.
Right. They support kidnapping children from same-sex parents. The AFA.
What?
Yeah. The AFA and their sister group, 1 Million Moms, has encouraged their followers to contact Highlights and the CEO, Kent Johnson, to lodge complaints and threaten a boycott unless Cully and the company renege on inclusivity.
Some shit that y'all wouldn't buy, no way.
And yeah, you, how you gonna boycott something you don't get?
People these goddamn boycotts. Y'all don't know how to boycott. You either boycott and buy the shit, which don't make no sense, or you boycotting shit that you don't buy. I'm boycotting Chick-fil-A. Is there a Chick-fil-A within 50 miles of you? No. But then what the fuck are you boycotting? You was never buying the shit anyway.
You know what's funny? If they would have just put like a same-sex couple with their children on the cover and not announced, like, we actually support these people, people would have been less, like, quote-unquote, less up in arms.
Right, because I'm going to tell you right now, most adults don't give a fuck about no Highlight magazines. When the last time y'all ever sat down and looked at one unless you were under the age of 12?
But it's the fact that, but I'm saying this as I'm applauding them for having a statement and a stance and not just sliding it out there, but being like, no, what people view as family needs to broaden.
Yes, it does.
Our magazine's going to reflect that. So, yeah, I appreciate it, you know? And fuck the AFA and
you better not
1 million moms.
Steal my kid, I'll fuck you up.
Right. 1 million moms, probably like three moms and shit.
Right, put your hand on my kid.
Probably not even moms. It's probably just like three white dudes that are bigots and they named the organization 1millionmoms.org and shit.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, kinda like 100% beef on McDonald's burgers and shit. You're like, 100% beef. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Dog.
Right. Real chicken in them chicken nuggets? Mm-hmm. Yeah, dog.
An Arkansas Supreme Court denies same-sex parents the right to appear on birth certificates.
What?
Yep. Apparently,
you're my parents.
Same-sex parents can't be on the birth certificate. They knocked down a lower court ruling, giving married same-sex couples the right to have their names appear on their children's birth certificates without a court order. The court's majority opinion said that a birth certificate listing only the biological parents does not deny appellees due process, adding it does not violate equal protection to acknowledge basic biological truths. So basically what they're saying is, look, whoever the people were that conceived this child, like whoever's DNA went into this, that's who should be on the birth certificate. So,
but that's not always true. Don't adopted parents go and put their names on their children's birth certificates? Or
I don't know, I guess not, because how do you adopt a kid, really? You know what I mean?
Okay.
Or maybe, you know, maybe it's the same way with surrogates.
I mean, I'm all thinking when you get a child's name changed or something like that, because I know that's a completely different process. Because when you get a child's name changed, you're not changing their birth certificate, right?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, for a matter of record keeping, I can understand the idea of we want a birth certificate to reflect the DNA these that contributed to this child coming into this earth, just for record keeping sake. Like, maybe this kid grows up one day, becomes an adult, and says, I want to find my birth mother, I want to find my birth father, or whatever, and you have this thing. My question is this: what has been happening when you couldn't find, like, when a woman doesn't want to say who the father is? What's been happening?
Right,
on just, people's birth certificates, it's just been blank. If it's just been blank, then why? What's the harm in allowing someone that is going to take care of this child to put their name on the fucking birth certificate?
It is. It's blank because I was born in 1979, and my birth certificate has my mother's name, and daddy's name is blank. It's unknown. I think it even has unknown there. The laws have changed now, but it's unknown. So if you try to go on my birth certificate and find out, even if I wanted to find out, I would know. Maybe, you know, I would allow this. Maybe you could have an addendum to it or something that has the actual biological quote unquote parents if you want them, if you want them on there for those purposes. But I would allow the parents of this child to have both of their names, regardless of the sex, on the birth certificate. Okay, record keeping, sure, who gives a fuck? Put an addenda and say, these are the biological parents. I don't care. But if these are the parents that say, I want to take care of this child, this child is my child, let them put their name on the birth certificates.
Yeah, it's just another additional legal hoop. It's probably money you have to spend, so a financial hoop. This is probably, like, shit like this is why I be like, gay people gotta be better parents than straight people, because you have to want to be a parent and you have to do so much shit. Like,
you got to want
when is this type of parenting, when it's like we're adopting this kid, or we're, you know, I have to, like, you have to do so much shit to jump through the hoop to just to fucking have the kid, like, just to be in that kid's life. I gotta pay an extra fee, I gotta go to court, I gotta fight for this kid, as opposed to, you know, a lot of parents, you just, hey, let's go pop this baby out of the hospital, come home, nobody challenges our right to raise our fucking kid.
Nobody.
You know, but yeah, it's like a fight for just basic rights, man. Like, especially when the alternative is this or no name. Like, I can see if the alternative was something like, well, this guy is the father, this woman is the mother, and you know, and like somehow we're trying to take away their rights, like we're trying to make sure they're not on the birth certificate so we can almost take their kid. That's not what this is. So I don't know, it went to court and they lost. Three different couples represented in the case, and their attorneys have not said whether or not they'll appeal the case up to the Supreme Court. I mean, with the way the Supreme Court about to be, I can't see it helping.
Yeah, and what's so fucked up about this law, in some states now you aren't allowed to leave the father's name blank. Like they will not allow them. So you can just pick a random fucking dude who has no DNA associated with this child and pin him on the birth certificate, and now he's fucking held accountable. What's the difference between that and this? That person isn't biologically attached to this child, but with their name on a birth certificate, legally you hold them accountable.
Yeah. Let's see. There's a study: conservatives are less willing to date or have sex with bisexuals. That seems like a study that didn't need to happen. It seems pretty, I don't know, for some reason that one seemed pretty straightforward. Maybe I'm tripping though. I mean, I know a lot of people like to put the taboo of, if you the most against this, then you must be for it. But I think a lot of people just are straight up homophobic, and there is no secret, like, and secretly I sexually want to be around, like, some people are just like, I'm a homophobic person, I hate LGBT people, and that's all there is to it. It's not a mystery, and there is no secret sex scandal.
This is who I am.
The study was 438 individuals and found a robust link between conservative beliefs and negative attitudes towards bisexuality. Individuals who endorsed more conservative beliefs were less likely to say they would have sex or go on a date or be in a committed relationship with a bisexual partner.
They wasted funds, but they could have been doing some real research.
Yeah, bisexual people already have it a uphill climb when it comes to a lot of shit anyway, because people
in their own community,
people really do conflate it with just being promiscuous. You're suspect with everybody now. You can't have no friends. Where it's like, if you're lean one way or the other, quote unquote, it's like, oh, you're gay male. Well, sure, you have plenty of women friends. I don't care. Go out with them girls. Go to the club. Let them show you the titties. I don't give a fuck. But then it's like, and if you're a heterosexual cishet male or whatever, oh, sure, you can go out with your boys. Go to the club, play ball, do whatever y'all want to do. But all of a sudden, the idea that someone's bisexual, people's paranoia kicks in. It's like, you want to fuck everybody. You can't even leave the house. Where you going to lunch? You know, bisexual people also experience higher rates of abuse in relationships, possibly because of that same paranoia and controlling nature of people thinking, you know, you about to fuck everybody.
Yeah, like they don't have taste, like they don't have purposes. Right. Everybody don't want to fuck you. And it's one of those things with the LGBTQ community, a lot of them actually just about the L and the B, the LT, LG, yeah, lesbians and gays. The rest of them letters really don't mean a lot to the rest of the crew, but the rest of them letters do represent somebody, real people.
Yeah, I mean, even within that spectrum, yeah, bisexual people say they experience a level of oppression too, because there is a distrust,
right,
that is specific to just the fact that you're bisexual. Whereas,
right,
like,
even though you grouped the letters together, the two first ones are the ones that everybody kind of put up front when they want to pass these fuck laws and shit like that. And they'll talk about the other two when it's time to talk about bathrooms and other bullshit that don't matter, but they really don't care about that part. They just really trying to actually stop the first two letters. But y'all all together when people say LGBTQ, and I'm thinking it's a new one. So it's just one of those things where it's a lot that covers that. But yeah, people that are in these groups are like, hey, we are ostracized within our own group because people that are lesbian and gay just assume that there's no such thing as being bisexual.
I do think that it's definitely a stigma that people have to live with. And for the record, that's you just talking about the group of LGBT, but I'm saying just in life, there's a lot, like, you can be straight and date somebody that is bisexual. Mm-hmm. So you still have just the general public's idea of, oh, no, you're just promiscuous. Like, you'll fuck anything. That's all it is. You just don't care. So you have that too, you know, not to mention, you know, when it comes to specifically men being bisexual, it's very much, oh, you just gay.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of negative things that they have to deal with in general. So I don't find it to be shocking that, that conservatives are less inclined, because I feel like, it's kind of in the definition of conservative that they would be less inclined,
right,
and less sexually progressive, quote unquote, on a lot of shit. So let's see what else happens. Attendance at North Carolina furniture market drops after the passage of an anti-gay law. So apparently a twice a year furniture market in North Carolina has seen lower attendance since the passage of HB2. HB2 is the only state law in the nation that prohibits transgender people from using the bathroom of their choice. It also blocks cities and municipalities from enacting LGBT protections. According to the Associated Press, attendance dropped 2.4% compared to last year at the High Point Market's fall event, an event in April that saw 1,000 fewer registered attendees. Wonder why. Your state becomes known for bigotry. Interesting. The event.
Yeah, guess what? gay money spends too, lesbian money spends too, like trans money, it spends, it's still green dog.
And just your general people that just don't want to be associated with a state that would have such fucking draconian laws. Like, there's just people that
they were like, we're gonna go somewhere else this year.
Right, I'm just saying, there's people that I just think they're not even like, they might not even be on the spectrum, but it's just the idea of, in the country, you're the worst. So I don't want to come to your state. Just not even for the hassle. I don't give a fuck. The events at the High Point Market generates about $5 billion in statewide economic activity.
Right. It's one of the largest events in our state. Like, people literally travel from all around the country and all around the world. When it comes, it's really, really big. You hear it on radio. Here locally, you constantly see it on TV. It is a big, 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 big event. And now you're missing that money. And until they repeal that law, sales are going to continue to go down. Because don't nobody want to deal with that.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into some different stuff, guys. Okay. Feel like the depressing. It's got to be one good story. Come on.
Come on, find a good one, baby. Find a good one.
Every time we do this segment, I'm always just like, I just want to like walk down the street to Central Avenue and just start finding LGBT people being like, hey man, my bad dog, we just out here oppressing, man. Yeah. I'm trying to talk to them.
And you know what, I think when we go down Central, it's LGBTQ, I don't know if it's a record shop or whatever it is right down the corner, but it has like a rainbow, and I've always wanted to go in there.
Yeah, it's some kind of rabbit, and it's got like rainbow stuff on the walls and stuff. I have no idea what that story is.
Me either.
I thought it was like a sex shop or something. Me too. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyway, homophobic African president loses election. So that's some good news. An African president who was claimed that he would slit the throats of gay people has lost the presidency after a national election this week. Gambian president Yahya Jammeh lost the national polls this week, 45.5% to 36.7%, in a surprise. He has admitted defeat and has promised to hand over power to the victor, opposition leader Adama Barrow. Jammeh has held Gamba since 1994, and in that time promoted the view that homosexuality is being pushed onto Africa by the West, which is interesting because in a lot of cases the homophobia is being imported into Africa. A lot of groups from America that are extremely homophobic, that are so homophobic they can't really practice their open bigotry here. They may be able to now, but in the past they haven't. So what they've done is they take their money and influence to African nations and pretty much try to buy the government. Like I said, I think it's, they call me Kuju, or I know I'm fucking this up. Hold on. Let me find this shit before I tank it. I read this. I watched this. Kuchu. Yeah. Okay. I was close as fuck. They called me Kuchu. Documentary that I watched. It's good, man. Kuchu is how you spell it. And Call Me Kuchu is the name of it. And it's about Uganda. And the thing that was surprising to me was just how much of the bigotry was imported. It was just like, you could see essentially white people have come there and just spent so much money on the government and its leaders and the president to influence homophobia in a place they're not even from. Like, this is how important homophobia is to you. That you want to spread it and you'll go to Africa to do it, to spend the money. Now, who knows what kind of money they're spending in America? I don't feel like America necessarily has a leg to stand on with a lot of this shit. Mm-mm. It makes us feel better to be like, well, we ain't saying we'll split their throats, but we're doing everything but, you know what I mean? Everything, so it's not short. Yeah, it ain't exactly like high five, pat yourself on the back, America, fuck yeah. But it was just amazing how much of that shit was influenced from us, but yet we get to look down on them as a country, like, or as a nation, we get to be like, look at Africa, they're so homophobic, oh god, what's wrong with those people? Meanwhile, that's our homophobia run rampant over there.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, he said he would slit the throats of gay Gambians, and the most recent slur in a long history of anti-gay comments. He repeatedly attacked LGBT people as vermin and asserted that the evil empire homosexuals will also go down the dirty drain and garbage of hell. In 2008, he infamously gave gays and lesbians 24 hours to leave the country or face having their heads cut off. Keep in mind, this incites the public. Like, he might not know any gay people, but people that know people are like, oh yeah, we've been wanting to kill this guy for a minute. Now the president is basically co-signing this shit. I mean, the way that Trump's election just spiked a whole bunch of hate crimes in America. Imagine, you know, living in a place where the president literally is like, yeah, I'm gonna kill you, and you are the devil and people need to kill you. Anyway, you got 24 hours to get out, and then it's okay for people to kill you. In October 2014, he signed an anti-gay law that created the crime of aggravated homosexuality, which carries a punishment of up to life in prison.
Shit!
Homosexuality was already illegal in the Gambia under British colonial era laws, and those found guilty of unnatural offenses faced up to 14 years in prison. The new law was followed by the reported arrest, detention, and torture of a number of people in suspicion of homosexuality by the country's National Intelligence Agency, which was condemned by human rights groups. While it's unclear what the incoming president's view on LGBT rights are, Barrow has promised to promote and consolidate democracy, rule of law, good governance, and respect for human rights and of our people. So, we'll see. Good luck.
Good luck, baby.
God, I can't even imagine living like somewhere where you just like, I hope the president don't tell everybody to kill us today.
Come on, you know, we used to be that country.
Like, as bad as it is for black people here, it's just you know, as a black person, I just couldn't imagine the president being on TV like, yeah, kill these niggas, you know, it's cool, they got 24 hours to get out of America, or you can kill them.
We didn't have 24
cut their heads off. What?
It was like, we'll beat you here, beat you while you're here, and didn't pass laws to continue to oppress you.
Yeah. Well, might as well keep it depressing, guys. All right. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. Fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles that we feel fucked with by as black people, and we score them from 0 to 100 and intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with. Today's contestants, everybody. Young Thug is back. Can't get enough.
Oh, he back?
He is back.
That was a quick bus trip.
Mm-hmm. Bossip is all over it. They say Young Thug's mama makes him apologize after sassy head ass airport meltdown. I don't even know where the sassy part came in, but okay. So apparently, you know, we played the video of him calling employees ants, peasants, donkeys, and nappy headed Africans for doing their job when he arrived at the airport late. Young Thug later said he loves Africa and almost moved there at one point. The ATL rapper then posted this video explaining how he's a proud African American and how Black Lives Matter after he had, you know, of course, belittled a pair of black women, because that's his thing. The rapper's girlfriend later came to his defense, but Thugger was still dragged to the depths of hell for his disparaging comments. And Thugger now says his mama made him go to the airport and apologize to the black airline workers. You know, I'd actually like to hear it from the airline workers if he actually did that.
Correct.
He said he took a picture in the airport and said, when your mama make you go to the airport and apologize, sorry, loved ones. He put two sad emojis.
And you're not fucking five. Do it because it's something that you want to do.
Yeah. So...
And so you didn't want to do it, so.
Zero to 100, Karen?
Oh, 100. I don't believe him.
Okay, Karen, don't believe him.
Because next week you'll be calling some other black woman a nappy headed hoe.
Yeah, I got to give it 100, too. Like I said, I think a lot of people want him to represent some shit that he just don't.
No. And why apologize? Why waste your time? You meant what you said, baby. I put it like this. I believe your words that come out your mouth, dawg. You ain't got to convince me otherwise.
Also, it's funny, he did the rant on video in person, but then the apology is just a picture of him by himself. Not, they're not pictured in there with him in the airport.
I don't believe he even
apologized. On Instagram. Mm-mm. No video.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope, because you show your ass in public, but you really don't want to apologize in public either.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do that.
But yeah, 100. Nate Parker and The Birth of a Nation lands 6 nominations at the NAACP Image Awards. That also ties with Moonlight for the most nominations this year. Moonlight and Birth of a Nation. He's nominated for Best Film Actor, Writer, and Director, while Birth of a Nation, a drama about the brutally suppressed 1831 slave rebellion led by Nat Turner, received nominations for Best Film and Best Independent Film. Aja Naomi King received a Best Supporting Actress for playing Turner's wife, Cherry. After the film's success at the Sundance Film Festival, where it won both the Grand Jury Prize and Audience Awards for Dramatic Features, hopes were high for its commercial award success. However, of course, it was derailed because Parker's past of being charged with, acquitted of rape while a student at Penn State University stalled the momentum for the film.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that's a kind narrative to say, oh well, it was because of that. Because I mean, in all fairness, there are films that get appraised at Sundance that by the time they make it to general audiences,
that's a normal thing. People are Sundance.
Yeah, like Sundance is for people that love film and they want to go see some new shit, and a lot of times they'll be very supportive, but by the time it gets to the box office, it doesn't do well.
Nope, it don't. They make their $5.50, but they'll claim it's the movie that nobody watched.
And also for black films and films about slave narratives, it's also common for them not to do well at the box office. So I feel like it's a very kind interpretation to give all the credence to, oh, it was the controversy about sexual assault that kept this movie from doing as well as we thought it would do. At any rate, Moonlight also is up, and I mean, you know, the Image Awards for NAACP Image Awards, I mean, they've awarded R. Kelly and shit like that. It's not so out of their range to do it. And now some people were comparing it to the local some people were comparing it to the local NAACP that gave awards to like Donald Trump and fucking Sterling.
I know that gotta be frustrating, because overall the organization does good work, but when you have these branches that do their own thing, they represent the body.
I just want to make a point, this isn't that,
right?
So this is on the NAACP, you know. And I don't know what people thought was going to happen. I guess I don't really think about the NAACP awards that often, so me to either. Me, it doesn't sound so shocking that they would still honor this movie, but at the same time it does feel like tone deaf, I guess.
Yeah, because maybe I'm wrong, but overall, it's a lot of old people that's in the NAACP. A lot of old black people, a lot of old black money. I know people from all colors in NAACP, don't get me wrong. But, you know, they got connections, they know him, and it's one of those things where it's a play, quote-unquote, by us, for us. And they feel like it's a black movie, so we're going to support it, and we're going to nominate it, because it might not get no nominations nowhere else.
I worry about it in a different way. I worry that it's the conspiracy shit, you know. It's the, they tried to bring a black man down, and this only happened to this movie because he was right. it was about Nat Turner, you know, the thing. And then also, man, for a lot of people that kind of came at me sideways for my opinion on the shit, I don't see them talking now, but I told y'all he'd be fine.
Yeah,
I was like, nobody, you keep fretting like this motherfucker is gonna be brought low by this. People don't care about women, and they don't care about sexual assault victims in our society. End of the day, until I see somebody actually pay for this crime in the court of public opinion, then I'll concede that I was wrong. But you got tied for the most awards. Like, the dude gonna end up being fine. Nothing's gonna happen. He'll be doing another movie within a year or so. Like, nothing's gonna happen to this dude, man. Nobody really cares. There's too many working actors who have long storied histories of abuse towards women for us to think that this guy is gonna be the one and done shot for all the black people in all the black movies.
Right.
He's gonna end up being just fine. It's fucked up, but that's the truth. Anyway, 100 for me. Karen?
Yeah, me too. I hope Moonlight beats it.
Yeah. We'll see. You know, like, that's a conservative organization, NAACP.
Yes, it is.
It's just people, I think a lot of people associate blackness with progressiveness, and I don't think the NAACP is necessarily that.
Nope, they're very conservative organization.
You know, a lot of churched up folk in there.
Yes,
a lot of old school, older people. They might not be cool with the fact that Moonlight
was even nominated.
Yeah, that might, or it might not win, you know. I mean, I'm just happy they nominated it, to be honest.
Too.
I mean, there were quite a few black movies that came out this year. I'm happy they nominated the movie, because that's even a step in the right direction, to be honest, you know, because that's a narrative about a young gay black man. So, you know, I could see them being like, nope, I don't want.
It was like, we'll nominate it, but the shit ain't gonna win.
Yeah, so I don't know. I can see them being like, I can see it being like, we not even gonna nominate this. Just pretend this movie ain't happened.
Oh, that's true.
I'm saying it's some level of progress that they didn't do that, because they were like, oh no, this movie deserves to be recognized, and I'm not gonna knock it until the results are out. Maybe it wins. I hope it does win.
I hope it does too.
You know, and in all fairness, I haven't seen Birth of a Nation, so I can't even say that Moonlight was a better movie. I just know that of the movies I saw this year, Moonlight was excellent.
Yes.
You know, I've heard varying reviews of Birth of a Nation. It's all kind of like, all the reviews I've seen at this point are kind of tainted and couched in either defense of this and anger at people that didn't like it, or vice versa, the I want to attack this movie and I'm angry at the people that did like it. And so I can't trust anybody's review, because I haven't heard a review where you didn't mention how much you hated people on the other side, quote unquote.
Right.
So now I'm like, I don't know what the film is. So, at any rate, let's see if we can get into some Guess the Race, cause we got to start closing things out, everybody. let me, play the song. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, you guys are all racist, but you knew that. And it's Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel, which is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out getbevel.com/TBGWT today and get your first month free. Getbevel.com/TBGWT. Make sure you guys do that, because it's almost Christmas. Sign up now. Get that shit in the mail. Put it under somebody's Christmas tree. Make some black person that is filled with coarse curly hair and sensitive skin make their Christmas, okay? They'll feel so great and refreshed, and they'll feel like you care about them, okay? That's what's happening right now, okay? Baron Davis might have stole my likeliness for blacksanta.com, but that's fine. Sure, you took my likeness, but you know what makes me feel less irritated about that every day? Bevel. Every time I shave, I'll be like, you know what? It's cool, Baron Davis. Get your coins. Even though we did play basketball that one time at Carmel Middle School. So I know you know what I look like, my nigga, but it's cool. It's cool, dog. Just go ahead and take it. Getbevel.com/TBGWT for the holiday seasons, y'all. All right, let's get to some Guess the Race. How about this one? Police. An attempted robbery suspect hides in a pond and says he's just fishing. Volusia County, Florida, of course, Florida.
Mm, so what you using as bait, your penis? Because, you know,
yeah,
fish like worms.
I understand where you're going with it. Police in Florida.
Bigger than around this shit.
Police in Florida say that they used a canine to track a man accused of attempting to rob a store. He went into a pond in which he had submerged all but his face. Volusia County deputies say 29-year-old Sean Torres said he was just fishing and that his fishing pole was in the water. Well, if it was his dick, it was in the water. I wonder if I wouldn't go in no water in Florida, because, you know, I just finished watching it was something like, what was the name? It was like Beautiful Invaders or Elegant Invaders. It was just some fucking shit on a documentary on Netflix about fucking pythons in Florida and these people that catch them by hand. And how big they can get and shit, and some of the other creatures they catch, these lizards and shit. Exotic Invaders, that was the name of it. And I gotta say, dog, that's a no for me. So I wouldn't be hopping no water. Y'all just catch my ass. I'll be like, yeah, I stole it. Just no, I don't want an alligator to come bite my leg off. But yeah, he said he was just fishing. He was aware of the attempt at a robbery, deputy say, but claimed the guy who did it went that way.
Oh,
how were you aware of the robbery though? I'm just out here fishing. Dude came running towards me. He just said, hey man, I just robbed some people and I'm gonna run over here to the left. Don't tell the cops. The sheriff's office said in the press release that it had been alerted to the attempted robbery around 8:36 p.m. Saturday at the Family Dollar, of course. After arriving to the scene, deputies learned that a man covered with his head with his shirt, revealing a large loyalty tattoo on his stomach, and demanded money from the store clerk. When the clerk said no, the suspect threatened to shoot him, which is another crime, and reached into the back of his shorts as if he had a gun. Ultimately, the suspect fled without the money. Oh, this just went wrong. Jesus Christ. This is like the opening of Raising Arizona type shit. The suspect was initially spotted by a helicopter near the edge of a pond, but when deputies and the canine arrived, he had gone into the water, and that as they moved closer, Torres surrendered with his hands up and slowly trudged back to land, saying he did not want to be bit and would not hurt a dog. Deputies soon noticed a loyalty tattoo on his stomach. Oh, hoping to shut case, Watson. And said in a press release that the store clerk identified Torres as the culprit. He was taken into custody, and while in the back of the patrol car, he allegedly kicked the doors, damaging the vehicle. He's taken to jail on attempted robbery, criminal mischief, and remained on Sunday on $30,500 bail. Guess the race of Mr. Sean Torres, Karen.
White.
Karen is going white for Sean Torres, y'all. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. That is some white audacity. His back was wet before he jumped in. Hispanic, literal wet back Hispanic. Latino, literally fresh out the boat Latino. $30,500 bail is a lot of off-ramp oranges. Latino. Nignog, slow poke Hispanic. What? Y'all some racist sons of bitches, guys, okay? I just want y'all to know that. And as far as his race is concerned, I got to say, y'all, he is white. I don't know how you got it, Karen. That should absolutely be wrong, but looking at this guy, he one of them white Hispanics, if anything, he could pass. A lot of y'all missed it. Boo the hell out they ass. Yeah, I don't know if it's showing up yet. Give it a second.
I don't see it yet.
Yeah, give it a second.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, he's just one of them Latino dudes that can just pass, man. Like, it's crazy to me too, y'all. It's like, oh yeah, he clearly Latino, but you look at his picture, you're like, that's a white dude.
That's the only thing that would make sense to me.
Mm-mm-mm. Loyalty. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the let's go to the bonus round, guys. Uh, Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points bonus, double the race and the bonus round to guess the race. So far, Karen is 1-for-1. Many people in the chat room have missed one already, but this is now worth double the racism. Let's see if you can get back on track. The bonus round, of course, brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest, best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TVGWT, enter code TVGWT, save $3 off of your new subscription. This month, if you make sure you sign up by the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific time, you can get up on the revolution. Mm-hmm. It's time to start a revolution, y'all. They're always watching. They've designed a system to keep you down. They're meddlesome. Hello, friends. It's time for a revolution. Fight the power and pave the way for a brighter tomorrow with December's Rebellious Crate, featuring exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and more, including exclusive Funko Pop figure and a monthly t-shirt and a pin. So make sure you guys go ahead and sign up for it, because, you know, there might be a movie coming out about some rebellion that Karen and I are going to see Thursday night. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not going to say what movie, you know, ixnay on the R way star or our stay, you know what I'm saying? You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't even know if that pig Latin one's even close to right, but the point being,
I don't know how to speak pig Latin.
Rogue One coming out, so y'all know what it is. The Black Guy Tips, okay, is trying to hook you up. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT. A filthy mouth parrot is headed to the stand in murder trial. Prosecutors refuse to rule out calling the bird, who yells, "Don't shoot," after seeing his owner killing her husband.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. A woman accused of killing her husband in an attempted murder-suicide with their pet parrot as the only witness. Glenna Durham, 46, is charged with first-degree murder for allegedly shooting her husband, Martin, 45, and then turning the gun on herself in Nuevo County, Inslee Township home in Michigan. She survived. Oh, man. Murder-suicide where you don't kill yourself? Mm. The alleged murder-suicide has drawn attention for its unusual witness, the couple's pet parrot. Lucky it wasn't a goldfish.
Right.
Weeks after his death, Martin Durham's family recorded the bird parroting what they believe to be the victim's last words. "Don't fucking shoot."
Oh.
Yeah, where else would that bird have gotten that from?
Come on.
"Don't fucking shoot, pow! Don't fucking shoot, pow!"
Ha-ha!
The prosecutors say he hasn't ruled out putting the African gray parrot, Bud, on the stand.
Oh.
So we don't have to guess the race of the parrot, is what I'm saying.
He gray.
As the preliminary hearing on Friday to decide if the case goes to trial, a neighbor, Connie Ream, testified how she was the first one to find the couple. She said she heard two gunshots in the morning and thought that Martin might be hunting, but that it was too early the next day. She went to check on the neighbors, found him on the floor in the bedroom with neither one of them moving. Martin had been shot 5 times, according to Wood TV. Glenna would spend months in the hospital recovering from a gunshot wound to the head. Another witness said that the place looked ransacked. Everything was just scattered all over the place. There was a lamp on the floor. Everything was just like ransacked in there, said the identifying witness. Martin's mother, Lillian Durham, insists the parrot Bud recounts what sounds like an argument, changing voices from male to female. Oh, really? Who's in your DMs? Who's in your DMs? Bitch, don't worry about that. Bitch, don't worry about that. Don't shoot, please, pal. Don't fucking shoot, pal. That bird picks up everything, anything. It's got the filthiest mouth around. I personally think he was there and he remembers it and he was saying it, said Martin's father.
Birds are really, really smart, because particularly parrots, they pick up on everything. And I don't know if y'all realize this, if you have sex around parrots, parrots will actually mimic your sexual sounds and shit.
Have you had sex around parrots? Is that how you know?
I have not. I've heard.
How do you know that?
I've heard birds kind of mimic that before. So I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Where you hear this at? I feel like you putting up some Trump information right now.
I'm not making it up.
We don't know anybody with no parents.
No.
Where you hearing this information, Karen? Do people want to know? Verify sources.
The people, they don't live beside your parents, but the people that usually live beside your parents, you would go outside and you would literally hear that bird mimicking sexual sounds.
Maybe they're just watching porn.
Born a fucking wonder what was happening.
All right, so anyway,
I'm making it up.
Okay, I had to ask my dad now. Got verified from my sources.
Okay.
After the shooting, Glenda told police she did not remember the day leading up to what happened, but stressed that she did not kill her husband. Perry gonna be on the stands like, she lying. However, police documents.
Bitch be lying.
However, police documents show that Glenda was considered a suspect in the case and that she had left 3 suicide notes in the house, one of her ex-husband and one of each of her children. Oh, you did it. Guess the race anyway.
She white.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. Polly was a cracker. She had a parrot that snitched. You know she white. White. This ain't bedrock. Enough with the snitching ass animals, white. Yeah, they was using them as a can opener. This is 11. White cock and shoot cockatiel. That's white people. Plead the fifth, can. Okay, Lauren, stop trying to advise. This is not legal counsel. White, black people don't own pets. They can't tie to a tree. Sheena, queen of the birds, white. Oh. Parrot and the lady called the police on their black neighbors last week. White, kiss the parrot on the mouth. Male, white. Love the parrot more than her husband, white. The correct answer is white. Hold on, they can't hear you. All right, what were you saying,
baby? Somebody
did
a snowflake and a bunny, guaranteed.
Snowflake and a bunny? I don't get
no
it.
No bunny.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's pretty good. Shout out to the iPhone emojis. I can't show y'all the pictures because we really do got to go. Yeah. So we got to get out of here so we can get on the road to see Layla.
Hey, I'm excited.
For the first time ever, I'm giving everybody the day off from sore ratchetness, guys. All right? That's how much I want to see my niece. But I did have plenty of stories I could have told. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.